We're holding the top line of Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. We learned yesterday about the situation with the Shir Shoyim, where because the Edim came late on Rosh Hashanah, they weren't sure what to do with the Shir Shoyim. We had two different opinions. Did they not say one at all by the Talmud Shabbat Abayim? Did they say the one of weekday instead of, as it turns out, they should have said the one of Yom Tov? And that led us into a little bit of discussion about the Shir Shoyim of Rosh Hashanah. So now let's get into a little discussion about, in general, every day of the week we say Shir Shoyim, what do each of them symbolize? Tanya, we learn it about, I said, of Yehuda Oymin Meshum Rav Akiva, Barishin Mahoyu Oymin, what would the Levim sing on the first day of the week, on Sunday, in the Beis Mikdash, which we do, and we do in Davening, La Shema Oretzim Loya, Kapitel Chav Dalet of Tehillim, and why? Which is Al Shema Moya, means the world and all its fullness belongs to Hashem, Al Shem Shekona, because that represents that Hashem acquired, meaning Hashem made, and so to speak, got them by acquisition, like he made them and therefore they belong to him, Vihikna, and he was Machne, the world, to those who live in it, the Shalit Ba'ilamai, and Hashem is the ruler of his world. Even after he's Machne, don't think it means that he delegated the world to us and he doesn't have it to do. He still has to do. So, La Shema Oretzim Loya, the world and all its fullness still belongs to Hashem. Good morning, Avi. And Marashah explains, in particular, you have, La Shema Oretzim Loya refers to the fact that Hashem is the king. Etc. Represents the person for the kind of person for whom Hashem made the world. So the kind about whom we say about whom we can say that Hashem was machne the world to them. And then it finishes off Mizan Malach HaKavod, Hashem is the giver, etc., which represents the fact that Hashem is the ruler of the world. So that's the Shir Shoyim for Sunday. Vasheni Mahayoimim, and Mahay said, Godol Hashem Moholomoi, Kapitel Memches. Hashem is great and very praised. Hashem Shechilik Maisa, the ear of the Kenu Hav Karche, as the pause continues. Hashem Shechilik Maisa, because on that day Hashem started dividing up his creatures. He divided El Yonim from Tachtonim, and then Hashem, so to speak, took Shamayim for himself, as like we have the ear of the Kenu Hav Karche, that Hashem dwells in the city of Yerushalayim, in the same way Hashem dwells in Shamayim, and he ruled over them. So therefore, that's the capital for Monday. On Tuesday, what do they say? Elikim Yitzabadas Keo, capital Pei Days. Hashem stands in the congregation of Hashem. Hashem Shigila Eretz B'Chochmaseh, because on that day, on Tuesday, is when Hashem revealed the world with his chokhmah, with his chokhmah. The land was covered with water, and Hashem told it to be revealed. The heichin teva ladosai, and he prepared teva, which means the settled world, the civilized world, for his ada, for the Jewish people whose job it is to reveal the course in the world. So the king needs a badass kill, the terror of the king yishbait. Marshall also adds that therefore we tell the continuation of the capital as we warn the dayanim to judge fairly, lo yodav lo yavinim v'hasheches halacho, etc., representing, do what you're supposed to do in order to prevent that there shouldn't be a marble, the world shouldn't have to be covered with water again. So that's Tuesday. On Wednesday, they said Kapitel Tzadik Dalad, which begins Kel Mekomis Hashem. Hashem is a god of vengeance. Al Shem Shebarach Chama Olavana, because on Wednesday Hashem created the sun and moon, and people unfortunately worship them. But also the Parah Me'evdehen. In the future, Hashem will pay back. Hashem will punish those who worship those bodies. On Thursday, the Levium and the Beis Mikdash, and we in Davening say Haninu Le Kimuzenu, capital Pei Aleph. Al Shem Shebara Oifus Bedogim L'Shaveach L'Shmoy, because on Thursday Hashem created the birds and the fish and to praise His name. Meaning Rashi says every time when people see all kinds of different birds, they have such beautiful, colorful feathers, etc. So the people praise Hashem for that. So therefore, that belongs on Thursday. On Friday, they would say Kapitel Tzadik Gimel, which begins Hashem Moloch Geus Lavish. Hashem has ruled. He's dressed himself in grandeur and greatness, Hashem should go on Malachta, because on Friday Hashem finished his Malacha, and then he ruled over everything that he created. Vashri, Hayyam, Mizma Shili and Shabbos, on Shabbos, they would say Mizma Shili and Shabbos, typical Tzadik Beis, which represents the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, the day in the future when, which will be all Shabbos. Meaning Rashi describes, as we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, that there's going to be a time in the world when the world is going to be chorev ve'ein adam. Rashi says it's going to be destroyed with nobody in it. We'll get to that point soon, what that actually means. And therefore, so there's no malacha at that time. So therefore, it's like a permanent Shabbos. And therefore, Mizmor Shavir Shabbos represents that ultimate Shabbos. So that's the reasons. So that's the reasons Rabbi Yehuda brings in the name of Rabbi Akiva for the seven Shir Shoyim. However, Amar Rabbi Nechemia, but Rabbi Nechemia says Ma Ro Chachamim L'Chalaku Ma Ro Rabbi Akiva L'Chalak Ben Akrokim Avalu. Why is Rabbi Akiva making a distinction between the first six and the seventh one? Namely, the first six all refer to things that Hashem did during Ma'aseh Bereishis. So they were all referring to things that Hashem did in the past. He created the world, he separated heaven, he separated the waters above from the water below, etc., etc. And all of a sudden, by Shabbos, you're saying it's not for the fact that Hashem rested on Shabbos on the seventh day, but for the fact that in the future there will be a rest from Malacha. So why do that? Ella, so Rabbi Nechemia goes over the whole list again. Again, the first day is Hashem acquired the world and made us acquire it. In order to live in it and use it for other course. The Shalik by Lama, and he rules over his world. Vasheni Shechilik Maisav Malach Aleihem. The second day, he separated his works, the upper water from the lower water, and ruled over them. Vashlishi Shegila Eretz B'chachmasi V'heifin Teva L'Adasai. The one for Tuesday is that he revealed the dry land with his Chachma and prepared the world for his Eda, for the Jewish people, to live on. On Wednesday is that he created the sun and moon will also be part of Day, and in the future he'll punish those who worship them. On Thursday he created, we have a Shir Shor Yom because he created the birds and the fish to praise his name. On Friday it's that Hashem finished all of his works and ruled over all of them. And the one for Shabbos is not like Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Rabbi Akiva because in the future there'll be a Shabbos, but because at the end of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem rested. Now, an interesting point is why Rabbi Nechemia needs to repeat the whole thing. Why didn't he just say that the seventh one is only? So the Pashtus, of course, you could say, he's saying, you, Rabbi Yehuda, repeated in the name of Rabbi Akiva this whole statement. I want to correct it and say that the end of it is like that, and therefore I'm going to correct and tell you how the whole thing was said. However, there is actually, there's a sefer of Shiloh Satrovus called Knesset Yechezkel, where he, at the end, he has a couple of short Shiloh Satrovus and Kedushim and Gemara, and he mentions this one. And he explains, if you notice, also in Rav Nechemia's rendition of it, he doesn't say each time in Rabbi Yehuda's, you have each time Al Shem, L'Hashem Aretzim Olay Al Shem Shekona VeHikna, Basheni God L'Hashem Olamayd Al Shem Shechilik Ma'aseh, etc. Except for Shabbos, it just says L'Yom Shekola Shabbos. Rav Nechemia does exactly the other way around. He does. There's no Al Shem for the first six, and there's an Al Shem for the seventh. So he explains the machlokas is actually when these kapitlachtilim, is it that David originally composed them having in mind that they're going to be used for the days of the week? So in other words, when David composed kapitlachtilim, he had in mind al shame, that he has in mind that Hashem created the world kana v'hikna v'shalach v'olamai, and therefore that it would be an appropriate shir shor yom for Sunday, and the same thing kapitel memches for Monday and so forth. So therefore the al shames go on that. Then when it comes to mizmor shir yom haShabbos, we're saying that he wrote it as the kapitel for Shabbos, but not al shame, but not al shame. The what's going to be lost in love, but just he wrote it just al shem the Shabbos, the weekly Shabbos, but not al shem the Shabbos that's going to be in the future. Whereas Rav Nechemia says no, All it is when the Levim we're looking for, we need a song to sing by the Korbanos on Sunday, because the Torah tells us we have to sing by the Korbanos. Which song should we use? And they looked around and found that Kapitel Chaf Dalet suits the purpose. And the same thing, Kapitel Mem Ches for Monday, and so on and so forth. So it's not Al Shem. These Kapitlach were not written with those days of the week in mind. They were just written, for other purposes, and the Levim found that they would be appropriate for these. And then, according to that, the seventh one is indeed Al Shem Shashabbos, because David wrote Mizmor Shiri Yom HaShabbos. He put right there in the caption that it's for the Shabbos day because Hashem rested on Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'kam niflegi v'dirav katina." Now, their machloikas is actually the machloikas is actually regarding what Rav Katina says. So we have Rav Nechemiah explain that the reason why he's differing with Rav Akiva about Shabbos, particularly about Mizmor Shirim and Shabbos, is because Rav Akiva is being inconsistent. He's making that one refer to the future and all the other ones refer to the past. So the Gemara explains that they have a more fundamental machlokas between them that, what is that Yom Shekulei Shabbos? The Dirav Katina regarding what Rav Katina said. The Amr of Katina, Shita Alfi Shni Habe Alma, the world that as we know it is going to last for 6,000 years. The Chad Charuv, and then there's going to be 1,000 years of Charuv. Literally, Charuv means destruction. So like we said before, Rashi quoted, we said before that Rashi says that there's going to be a period of time when the world is Charuv and there's no people in it. Mind you, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, it's not completely true, there's going to be no people in it, the Tzaddikim are still going to be there, and then the Gemara describes how, metaphorically, how Hashem is going to make them wings, and they're going to float on the water. There's of course many explanations about it, in particular, there's many places in Chassidus where it talks about it, and it talks about the idea that this Charuv refers to, in other words, the world is going to be on a completely different level, it's going to be Charuv, destroyed, relative to the way now we expect the world to work a certain way, and there's going to come a time when it's going to be when the whole nature, the whole teva of the world is going to be changed, and we describe that as Charuv. There's even one place, there's a mimer of the Rebbe Marash that talks about also the word Charuv refers to he relates it Charuvin as in caravs. We're going to learn in Masech HaTainis. We're going to learn in a few weeks, Bez Hashem, about Rav Chanina ben Dosa, who was a tremendous tzaddik. He was the tzaddik adur, and the whole world was sustained in his schus. And he himself, he and his family, lived off a kav of charuvim, of caribs, from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. That's how little they had. So the Rebbe Marash explains that charuv represents a very, very high level of gilui elokus, so much that to give tremendous shefa to the whole world. So Rav Chanina ben Dosa, in his time, he being the tzaddik ador, he was bringing down that charuv for the whole world, but it's such a high thing that for him himself, it couldn't come out the galui, because if for him it came out the galui, it would be the kind of thing where the world really would be destroyed, because the world couldn't take such a thing. So therefore, he himself had to have only very betzimtzum. He had to have only a bare amount of gashmis. Meanwhile, for everybody else who's not on his level, it was able to come down the galui as tremendous goodness and gashmius. Anyway, the point is that he says that choruv, or the schad choruv over here, represents a tremendous outpouring of olakos. So we're saying that there's going to be that. So therefore, according to that, then it means, so you have the 6,000 years, each of them represents one of the 6 days of the week, and the 7,000, when it's going to be choruv, represents Shabbos. So therefore, so it's appropriate to have a kapitel tilim that talks about that. So how do we know 1,000? Shenema, v'niskav Hashem levade v'yayimahu. The pasuk says Hashem will be exalted alone on that day. So alone, in other words, implying there's not going to be a world I mean, even now we know, of course, einod milavade, but that's only from the point of view of das elyon, from the point of view of das tachton, from our own point of view, it looks like the world runs on its own. It's not going to be that way. So therefore, Hashem will be levado by yoimahu on that yoim, and we know that a yoim of Hashem, that a day of Hashem, is 1,000 years. Amar Abaya, Abaya Amar, but Abaya says no, it's not 1,000, but trei charuv. There's going to be 2,000 years of that. Shenema yichayenu miyemayim, as the pasuk says, Hashem will make us alive throughout the 2 days, and again, 2 days means 2,000 years. So again, it means that. that for 2,000 years you'll have this world as Chorub. So in particular, there's a sicha in Chelek Zayin where the Rebbe talks about in a different context, the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, in a different context, what's going to happen with the wild animals, Lasid Lavai? Are they going to disappear or are they going to be tamed and not harm anymore? And the Rebbe talks about, according to Abayas, Tirei Chorub over here, we would say that there's going to be 1,000 when they're not going to harm and another 1,000 when they're going to completely disappear, representing, in other words, two stages in the world becoming higher and closer to Elikos. The point is, in other words, that according to Rav Ketina, you have 1,000 years of Chorub, therefore it's appropriate to have a Mizmer Shevi Yom HaShabbos for the Yom Shekhovei Shabbos, because it's going to be one Yom, one of Hashem's days of 1,000 years. Whereas if you say like Abaya, that's 2,000, 2,000 is 2 days, so then you don't have a Yom Shekhovei Shabbos, you have Yomayim Shekhovei Shabbos. So then it's not appropriate to talk about, so then it's not appropriate to have a Mizmer Shevi Yom HaShabbos representing that. So therefore, that would bring us to Rav Nechemia's opinion that Mizmer Shevi Yom HaShabbos represents the weekly Shabbos that we have now, not the future Shabbos, which according to Abaya is going to be 2,000 years rather than 1,000. Okay, so that's the reasons for the Shir Shor Yom is for the different days of the week. Next, the Gemara continues, the Musfei de Shabbos Mahayu Oymin, in the Beis Mikdash. So what Shir Shor Yom did the Levim say together with the Musaf of Shabbos? The Mizmer Shir Yom HaShabbos that we just said was for the Tamid Shal Shachar. Now, what about the Korban Musaf? Amar Rav, Onan Bar Rava, Amar Rav, Haziv Loch. They would sing the Shira of Hazinu, and they divided it into six sections where the acronym of them is the word Haziv Loch. So the first one begins Hazinu, the second one begins Zachor Yamos Olam. And all the other ones, you have different opinions among the Rishonim where exactly you divide them. Rashi says the third one is Yaakivehu, which is in fact how we do it. Which is in fact how we do it in Shul. The Gemara is going to say in a second that the same breaks are used in Shul. The fourth one, Vayara Hashem Vayinatz, which is also the same. Then you have the Lamed and the Chof. Rashi says Alulei Kas Oyev Ogur and Ki Yodin Hashem Amay. Tosus brings a different one from Tosus brings a couple of different ones from Masech HaSofrim and from Rabbeinu Hananel. The Rambam brings yet another one. Our Minag is like the Rambam's division. So Rashi explains actually that what you have is they're more or less of equal length. You have the first four, Rashi says, are six psukim each. Rashi says the first three are six psukim each, and then afterwards eight psukim each. Actually, if you count the psukim according to Rashi's divisions, you have it slightly different. There's one of them that's nine instead of eight. But anyway, the ones that we have nowadays are somewhat different. The Rambam in particular has the fifth aliyah runs to about 13 psukim, and the sixth aliyah is only four psukim. Anyway, so those are the divisions. So each week they would do one of those in the, each week they would do on the Musaf of Shabbos, they would do one of those in the Beis Mikdash. But Amar of Chanan Bar Rava, Amar Rab, Kederach Shachalukim Kan, Kach Halukim, the Beis HaKnesses, the same divisions that are used in the Beis Mikdash are the same divisions that are used in Shul for the first six aliyahs. And then the seventh aliyah is the psukim after the Shira of Ayyavai Moshe Vaygaber, etc. So those were the Shir Shor Yom for the Musaf of Shabbos. There's a Sicha in Chelek Chav Dalet where the Rebbe talks about why Dafka Shira Sazinu. I mean, okay, it's a Shira, but a lot of it talks about how Hashem is going to punish the Jewish people for their Averus and so on and so forth. Why is that appropriate for Shabbos? And the gist of the answer is that ultimately Shira Sazinu is not so much about the punishment. I mean, it contains that as well, but ultimately it's about how Hashem leads the Jewish people towards the Geula Amitis Vashleima, how Hashem leads us to doing tshuva and takes us out of, and taking us out of Golus. Even the parts of it that seem negative are all part of a Shira, which a Shira, after all, is something happy. So therefore, in other words, you have that, and especially, in fact, the Rebbe goes in and explains that especially according to the Rambam, it comes out there's no one aliyah that's only bad. Every one has some good in it as well. According to Rashi, maybe not, but according to the Rambam's divisions, which is what we use nowadays for the aliyahs, every one of them includes some good. And then the Rebbe goes on to explain that actually what it is each of the six divisions of Parshas Hazinu that we're dealing with over here, each of them reflects the theme of one of the six kapitlach that we said that they do during the week. So the first part has Zinu Hashemayim Vadabeira reflect the theme of Lashema Aretzim Loya. The second one, Zachor Yemois Olam, reflects the theme of the second one, Gadol Hashem Mahula Ma'od. For example, on the second Aliyah, we talk about how Hashem split up the nations and made that there are 70 nations in the world corresponding to the Jewish people. That reflects the theme of Monday of Hashem splitting the waters apart, and so on and so forth, going through Hazinu. So each one of them, so even, for example, we said before, there's a chapitel for Wednesday that talks about Kel Mekamas Hashem, that Hashem eventually will punish those who worship the sun and the moon and the other idols. But even that, it's not wholly negative. It's something positive. It's a step on the road to Gaula. And therefore, all of those are like one unit. And then on Shabbos, then we have Hazinu, which also reflects those themes. Next, the Gemara continues. The Mincha said, "Shabbos of Mahayu Oyvim." What would they do by Mincha, by the Talmud Shaben HaBayim on Shabbos? What capital would they sing then? Now, by the way, on the weekdays, we said before that you do the same capital in the morning as in the afternoon. But Shabbos, the Gemara is assuming that we're going to do something different. So, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Oz Yashir, Umi Kamaycha V'Oz Yashir. They did Oz Yashir, that we say every day in davening, the Shir HaSayam, the first half of it, Mi Kamaycha, which is the second half of it, and Oz Yashir, which is the one, the Shira of the Be'er, in Parashas Chukas, that the Jewish people sang about the well of Miriam. So we boil Lahu, so they had the question, Hani Kula B'chad Shabbos Ha'amri Lahu, do we mean that they did all three of those every Shabbos? Or do we mean Kol Shabbos of a Shabbos Ha'amri Chad? Do we mean that the first Shabbos they would do the first half of Oz Yashir, until Tzolalu Kaiferes Mai Madirim, the second Shabbos they would do from Micha Moicha until the end of that Shira, and the third Shabbos they would do Oz Yashir Moshe, the Shira, Oz Yashir Yisrael, the Shira of the Be'er. So is it like that? So is it that they did it all of them every Shabbos, or each one on a different Shabbos, and then they rotated through three Shabbosim? Toshma, with a proof, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rav Yosi, Ad Shorishonah Emeres Achas, while they're doing the first one, the one time through, Shnia Chazeres Shtayim, the second one that they're doing by Mincha, they're repeating through twice. In other words, we said Hazinu is six parts, so it takes them six Shabbosim to go through Hazinu. This was saying that there's only three parts, so they and it only takes three of them to go through. Shema Minach or Shabbos of a Shabbos to Amri Chad. So you see that every Shabbos they said only one Shema Minach. Okay, so that proves it. So the first Shabbos they would say the first section of Hazinu and the first half of the Shira Sayyam. The second week they'd be doing the second section of Hazinu, the second Aliyah of Hazinu, and the second part of the Shira Sayyam, beginning with Micha Malka. And the third week they'd be doing the third Aliyah of Hazinu, and along with it they'd be doing the Shira Sabe'er. And then the fourth week they're doing the fourth Aliyah of Hazinu, and they're going back to Oz Yashir and so forth. So they go through the Shiras in Mincha twice as fast as they go through the Shiras of Hazinu. And Marsha points out the idea is Shabbos being a higher day, you want to have that they're using Shiras from the Torah. Whereas on the weekdays, which are at a lower level, those they can use Shiras that were composed by David HaMelech. Also when we said before about Rav Katina and Abaya, about Chad Charuv and Trei Charuv and all that, so why isn't Rav Akiva bothered by the question of Rav Nechemiah that what's the difference between Shabbos and the weekdays? Why do the weekdays all refer to the past and the one for Shabbos refers to the future? There's a sicha where that everyone's pointed out. Rabbi Akiva would say, listen, Shabbos is higher than time, so it doesn't really matter. The past Shabbos and the future Shabbos is all the same thing. Okay. So that ends the discussion about the Shushoyah. Next. We said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai had made a takana our Mishnah had talked about the Takana of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, that after the Churban, we Edim can come, Edei HaChodesh can come all day, because there's no Churban and no Shir to be messed up. We said also in the previous Mishnah, we also mentioned that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made a Takana that you can blow Shofar in the first Mishnah of our Perek, that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made a Takana after the Churban that you can blow Shofar in Yavne. So now let's talk about how the Sanhedrin wind up in Yavne in the first place. So Amr of Yehuda Ba'idi, Amr of Yechanan, Esem Asois Nosa Shechina, there were 10 movements, 10 10 stages in the journey that the Shechina went through when it left the Beis Hamikdash at the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, Mikroi, and we know those from Sukkim. In other words, the idea is when Hashem, at some point, Hashem removed the Shechina from the Beis Hamikdash. If it hadn't been for that, the Goyim never could have conquered and destroyed it. But Hashem left in stages, like he, as if, like he's unwilling to leave, and he wants to give the Jewish people more and more of a chance to leave. There's also the idea there's 10 levels of Kedusha, so therefore, like, as each one went away, then the Shechina went away further and further. So we know that from, we're gonna analyze Pesukim, and we're gonna see how there were those 10 stages. Uknegdem, Golsa, Sanhedrin, the Gemara. Corresponding to those, when the Sanhedrin went into Golos, they also went through stages that we don't know from Pesukim, but that we know only from, Torah Shabbat. So, on the face of it, the places where we're talking about the Shechina is the first Beis Hamikdash, and the Sanhedrin is at the end and after the second Beis Hamikdash, although Marsha points out that it seems maybe that we're talking about also the Sanhedrin going into Golos, maybe not to the exact same places, but at least that there was some Golos of the Sanhedrin after the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. If nothing else, they went into Golos and Babel. But, so therefore, so maybe you also had 10 stages there. So. Where do we see from Pesukim that the Shechina left the Beis Hamikdash in 10 stages? So the stages are as follows. Mikaporas the Kruv, from the Kaporas, where originally the Shechina was above the Kaporas, and that's where it spoke to Moshe, the Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from there, moved to the Kruv. Now you have the Kruv, we're not talking about the Kruvim that were on the Oren. In the, we've learned before that in the Beis Hamikdash, beside the kruvim that were on top of the oren, attached to the kaporas, actually of one piece with the kaporas. Besides that, there were two big, oversized kruvim made out of wood, plated with gold, that stood on the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. One on each side of the oren, and with their wings, they covered over the kruvim and the oren itself. So first the Shechina moved the kaporas to kruv, from the kaporas to one of those kruvim, only kruv the kruv, and then from one kruv to the other kruv, Agos Habach takes that out. And in fact, if you do, you're going to have 11, so you have to take that out. Only kruv the miftan, then the Shechina moved from the kruv to, from one of these big kruvim to the threshold of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only miftan, or maybe the threshold of the Heichol. Only miftan the chotzer, and then from there to the chotzer of the Beis Hamikdash, to the Azara, from the Chotzer of the Mizbeach, from there to the Mizbeach HaChitzen, that is, from the Mizbeach LaGag, from there to the roof of the Heichel. Hagoyes HaGruah flips a few of those around because it makes more sense that it first went to the roof of the Heichel, and then from there to the Chotzer, it's going progressively outward. Why would it go backwards to the roof of the Heichel? Okay, from the Gag LaChoyma, from the roof it went to the wall of the Azara, from there to the city of Yerushalayim, from there to the mountain, meaning Har HaZeisim, from there it went to the Midbar, also the Yashar Lukaima, and from the desert, the Shechina went and sat and remained in its place, meaning in Shemayim. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Hashem says, many years ago, through the Navi Hosea, Eilech Oshuva El Mekaymi, let me go return to my place. So in other words, the Navi is saying, Hosea lived a few hundred years before the Korban, but he's saying, the Nebuah, that there's going to come a point where Hashem's Shechina is going to return to its place in Shemayim. I mean, mind you, of course, you know, we learn in Basi Lagani that the real place is the Shechina with Hatonim Hosea, and our job is to bring it back down here on earth. But like we said before, Hashem is so to speak, personal place is in Shemayim. He wants us to make the world. We did it with Achtonim, and if not, then Shemayim is the appropriate place for him. Okay, so let's go through each of those. Mikaporas the Kruv, Mikruv the Kruv, Mikruv the Miftan. Where do we see that the Shechina was originally on the Kaporas and then moved to the Kruv and from there moved to the threshold? So, Dechbib, like this. First, you have when the Mishkan was built, Hashem said to Moshe, "V'nei Adti L'chasham, I will make my appointment with you over there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'dibarti itchem al haKaporas, I will speak with you from above the Kaporas." So we see that the Shechina was originally on the Kaporas. Now, Chativ Bayukav al Kruv Bayoiv, the Pasuk says Hashem, so to speak, rode on a Kruv and flew. However, Rashi takes that out. So does Agoy Sabach. because that pasuk has nothing to do with Hashem's withdrawal from the Beis Hamikdash. That pasuk is referring by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Hashem, so to speak, rushed to save the Jewish people, like as if like Hashem took a kruv, like a kavyachol, like a person would take a really fast horse and go and fly there. So that's how fast Hashem came to save the Jewish people. So that pasuk Rashi says doesn't belong in our Gemara. Okay. Then it says, "Chvoid alakesh on nalam alakruv asher hoya." Olam Yecheskel sees the nevuah, a number of these stages taking place. He says the glory of Hashem nalam alakruv lifted off the kruv asher hoya olam, which the shechina had been on that el miftan abayis, and it moved to the threshold of the house, the threshold of the heichal. So we see that at one point the shechina was on the kruv, and from there it moved to the miftan. Now, how did it get to the kruv? So that's the first stage, is going from the kapodas to the kruv. It also has to be, we can't say that it means the kruvim on the aron, first of all, because it's one piece with the kapodas, but besides that, by Yechezkel's times, when he's saying this nevuah, the aron had already been hidden away for 30 years. Yoshiyahu had hid it away 30 years before Yechezkel started his nevuah. So if he's seeing now that the kruv, that the shechita was on the kruv and then moved from there, it has to mean the large kruv. Next, when we miftan the chotzer, how do we know from there it moved to the chotzer? Again, another pasuk that Yechezkel describes, Yechiv, by Yimolei Abayis as Anan, he saw another stage of the shechina's withdrawal. The house, the heichal, was full of smoke. V'achotzer mola as noiga kved Hashem. The chotzer, the azara, was full of the glory of the kavod Hashem, of Hashem. So we see that the glory of the shechina moved to the chotzer. Mechotzer lemizbeach. The next one is to the mizbeach. Dichtiv. Here you have a pasuk from Amos. Now Amos again lived a long time before the Churban, but he's saying, Rashi explains, he's saying menavua that in the future he's saying that Hashem is going to do this. It has to be because there's no reason because he's going to mention Hashem because he says v'hine Hashem ro'isi es Hashem mitzav al mizbeach. I saw Hashem standing on the mizbeach. Now obviously Rashi says it's not going to be that Hashem withdrew to the mizbeach and then in Yechezkel's times came back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and withdrew from there again. It has to be that you're almost the same in Nevuah that I saw that in the future, a couple of hundred years from now, there's going to be a point where the Shechina is standing on the Mizbeach. So that's the next stage. Mizbeach Lagag, from there it went to the roof of the Heichal, or as we said, okay, Hagoyes Hagra moves these around a little bit, so the roof was earlier. Dichtiv, that you have a pasuk in Mishlei, Tov Lasheves Al Pinas Gog, it's better to sit, better and easier to sit on the corner of a roof, rather than, as the pasuk continues, with a quarrelsome wife. So the Jewish people are compared to the wife of Hashem. We quarrel and fight with Hashem and bring in a Avodah Zarah and do other Averis. So Hashem says, you know what, I'd rather sit on the roof than have to deal with that. Megag l'choyma. From there he goes to the wall of the Azara. Dichtiv, another pasuk from Amos. V'hinei Hashem nitzav al choymas anoch. He says, I saw Hashem standing on a wall of anoch. There's a few different possibilities. What anoch means? It means a broken wall. It means a wall that was made exactly straight and true with a plumb line. Whatever. The point is that he saw Hashem standing on the wall, and that refers now to the wall of the Azara. Again, this is a pasuk from Amos, but he's talking about in the future what Hashem is going to do. From there Hashem goes, from there the Shechina goes to the city of Yerushalayim. Another one from an earlier Navi, the Navi Micha says, the voice of Hashem calls out to the city. So we see that there's a point when Hashem is in the city calling out to the people to do tshuva. And we have to keep in mind, you know, all of this is, I mean, on one hand, it's withdrawing from the Beis Hamikdash. On the other hand, you know, it's also Hashem is giving them more and more opportunity to do tshuva, and by coming closer, bringing the Shechina right there into the city, so that they should realize, they should have the sensitivity to realize the Shechina is there and do tshuva. So that's in the city. Umeir lahar, from the city, it went to the mountain. Dichtiv, again a pasuk from Yechezkel. Vayal kved Hashem me'al teicha'ir. The glory of Hashem lifted off from within the city. Vayamed al ahor Hashem kedem la'ir. And it stood on the mountain east of the city, Harazesim. Omehar lemidbar. From there the Shechina went to the midbar. Dichtiv, another pasuk in Mishlei says, Toriv sheves be'eretz midbar. Better to sit and to dwell in a desert. And again it continues. With better than me'eshes midonim, rather than a woman who was quarrelsome. In particular, Rashi says midonim The pasuk mentions over there, Ashes Madonna will base cover a quarrelsome woman who has a like a friend in the house, meaning where they put in an avodah zarah, like as if to be like a colleague to the Shekhinah, and Hashem says, I can't stand that. So better to be on the roof and better to be in the midbar rather than having to deal with that. Umi Midbar also the Yoshua and the Kaima, and then from the Midbar the Shekhinah went and remained in its place in Shemayim. Again, as we said, Dichtiv Elachoshuva Makaimi, because the Pasuk says, let me go and return to my place, and Rashi quotes the next words of the Pasuk, Adasha Yeshmu, until they feel guilty, until they feel themselves guilty and do tshuva. Until then the Shekhinah is gonna stay in Shemayim. So in this connection, the Gemara says, "Amar Abiyechanan, Shisha Chadashim Nisak V'Shchina LeYisrael BaMidbar." For 6 months, the Shchina remained in the desert waiting for the Jewish people. Shema Yachzur B'Tshuva, because maybe during those 6 months they'll finally do Tshuva. Kiven Shalechazu, when they didn't do Tshuva during those 6 months, Amar, then Hashem said, "Kipach Atzmam, let them." Kipach literally means like let them blow up or let them be disappointed. In other words, forget about it. Their hope is gone. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Ve'enir Rishoyim Dichlena." The eyes of the Rishoyim fail, like they're looking forward to something happening and it doesn't happen. Umanais Avad Minhem, their refuge is lost from them. Meaning the Shekhinah, which would have been their refuge, would have protected them, is lost from them. The Sikvasim and their hope, meaning that Yerushalayim is going to be saved, Mapach Nafesh is going to be a disappointment. So Hashem says, let them be disappointed. Tipach Atman or Tipach Nafsham. Agoris Abach changes the two to fit with the words of the pasuk. What are those 6 months? Marashar explains that those are the 6 months from when the siege of Yerushalayim began until the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. The siege began on Asar HaBetavis. The walls were breached in the first Korban we talked about previously on Daf Yud Ches, that the walls were breached on test Tammuz by the first Beis Mikdash. So that's 6 months. So during those 6 months, Hashem is hoping that they'll do tshuva, and then when not, then Hashem says, forget about it. They're just going to have to, the Yerushalayim is going to have to be destroyed, and the Beis Mikdash is going to have to be destroyed. It's a little hard to understand because those actually weren't 6 months apart. Those were 2 years and 6 months apart. But maybe Marashah means, in other words, that once it came, that first test Tammuz and Hashem saw that the Jewish people hadn't done Shuvah, and then he decided that's it. Or maybe on the contrary, the last that started Batavis 2 years after the siege and they still hadn't done Shuvah, then the countdown begins. Anyway. Continues the Gemara. Ukenegda. Now we said that the Shekhinah went away in 10 stages. Corresponding to that, Gol Sanhedrin. The Gemara. We said the Kabbalah. We know that the Sanhedrin moved to 10 different places. What happened? Milishkas Agozes Lachanos. First, they were in the Lishkas Agozes in the Azara, right next to the Azara. From there, they moved to Chanos, which is a place on the Har Abayis. That was, in particular, we're going to talk about on other days, 40 years before the Churban. Because at that point there were many Rotzchim, and the Sanhedrin figured they don't have the ability to judge them anymore. So therefore, like this, if they're not in the Lishkas HaGozes anymore, then they can't. There's no more Din and Nefashos. So that way they're going to leave it up to Hashem to deal with those Rotzchim. This is why Marsha points out, when you get down to it, the first Beis Mikdash, that Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shpichas Damim, there must have been a much bigger problem with Rotzchim. So therefore, we can say that the Sanhedrin may well have gone into Golos, into Chanuyas, by the first Beis Mikdash as well. But here we're talking primarily, most of the list we're going to have over here is by the second, is during and after the second Beis Mikdash. So from Lishkas HaGozes to Chanus, that was 40 years before the Korban, Ume Chanus to Yerushalayim, at some point during those 40 years, they moved into the city of Yerushalayim proper, from there to Yavne, because Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai asked Aspasianus famously, "Ten li Yavne v'chachamim, he'll give me Yavne and the chachamim that we should be able to set back up, the Sanhedrin over there." Umi Yavne v'Usha, from there they moved to the city of Usha, which is in the Galil. So Rashi explains the general idea was wherever the Nasi lived is where the Sanhedrin went to. So Rabbi Gamliel originally lived in Yavne. Later on, Rabbi Gamliel moved to Usha, and therefore the Sanhedrin moved with him. Really, what it was is in those times, this is the few decades after the Churban, the Romans were harassing and persecuting the Jewish people a lot. So there came a point when it wasn't safe to stay in Yavne anymore, and they had to move to Usha, to the Galil, where the Galil was also obviously ruled over by the Romans, but they were less given to harassing them over there. In particular, it seems from various places that the Romans had a policy of trying to keep Jews out of Eretz Yehuda as much as possible, because you have Yerushalayim there and so forth. That was always the main center of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael. So now the Romans are trying to keep them out of it as much as possible. So they didn't care so much if they're in the Galil, but they didn't want them in Yehuda. Therefore, the Sanhedrin was forced to move to Usha, and Ram Gamliel was there. Then there was a point, though, where they were able to return to Yavne. Rashi explains that was in the times of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, because we're going to learn tomorrow, about a Rosh Hashanah that took place in Yavne in Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's time. So they moved back to Yavne. Then they had to move back to Usha again. From there, they moved to Shfaram, another city in the Galil. From there to Beis Sharim, that was in Rebbe's time. Rebbe originally lived in Beis Sharim. On Beis Sharim with Tzipori, then to Tzipori, because Rebbe's health was bad, and they had to move to Tzipori, which is in the mountains, and the climate there was much better for him. On Tzipori to Tveria, from there they went to Tveria, which was also, Rashi says, within Rebbe's time. In particular, Rashi says in Tveria, they were there in the times of Antoninus. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, for example, where Antoninus says to Rebbe, I want to make Tveria free from taxes, and I need to figure out how to get the Roman Senate to agree with it. And Rebbe gives him advice over there, so we see that the Chachamim were in Tveria at that time. So that's the tenth, that's the last place, or Tveria, Mukom Mikulon. Tveria was the deepest one, meaning Rashi says they were at the deepest, they were at the lowest level then of all the other places where they were. It also means, geographically, Tveria is the lowest lying of all these places, by the shore of the Kinneret, below sea level. Shenema v'shafalt me'eretz yabeiru. As the Pasuk said, you will be low down, you'll speak from the ground. So if the Navi is saying to the Jewish people, there's going to come a point when your glory, the Sanhedrin, is going to be in the ground, like below sea level. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Shesh Golias. Rabbi Lazar says it wasn't 10 Golias, it was only 6. Shenemar, ki heishach ibrug, from a Pasuk, also in Yeshaya. Hashem has lowered down those who dwelt in the heights, which means the Sanhedrin, which was originally in Lushkas HaGadis, in the heights of Yerushalayim. Kiryah Nisgava, the exalted city. Yashpilana, he'll lower it down. Yashpila Ad Eretz, he'll lower it down to the ground. Yagiena Ad Ofer, he'll bring it down to the dust. So the various expressions in the Pasuk, Heshach, Yashpilana, Yashpila, Ad Eretz, Yagiena Ad Ofer, is 6, and that represents 6 different places, 6 different journeys that the Sanhedrin had to make. So what now? He's not disagreeing with the historic facts. As sort of Yaakov Emden explains, for example, he's taking out, he doesn't include all the moves back and forth between Yavne and Usha and Usha and Yavne and so forth. He collapses all that into one. So that takes out a couple. He doesn't count necessarily the ones in Rebbe's times between Beis Shardim and Tzipori and Tveria. So therefore that brings it down to 6. Rav Yechanan says the last place where the Sanhedrin was located was in Tveria. From there, they're going to be redeemed. From this, that they're down in the dust, and then the lowest point, they're going to be redeemed. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Yisnari may offer, shake yourself off from the dust, kumi shvi, and sit, and come sit Yerushalayim, meaning that the Jewish people are going to be reestablished from there. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Sanhedrin, that what it means is, when the Sanhedrin is reestablished, it will be reestablished in Tveria, and from there, after they sit for a while in Tveria, then they're going to move to the Beis Hamikdash. Mishnah says, "V'amar Rabbi Shur ben Korcha, v'oid zoyz hiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai." We've been talking about all the takonis of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Shur ben Korcha says, "Here's another takona of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai." Shach bilu roish beistin mechomakim, that even if the roish beistin, the nasi, is someplace else, not in the same place as the beistin. So you would, now we said before, the nasi is the one who says mekodesh, roish beistin omer mekodesh. So the chora then the edim should have to go to wherever he is. No, the takana was shelo yuha edim hochan elulam kaim avad. The edim should only go to where the rest of the Sanhedrin is sitting, even though the nasi is not there. So they just go there, and the Sanhedrin can be mekadesh without the rosh based in there. The reason for that takana is there were fewer considerations. First of all, after the Churban, the Nasi has to travel more on behalf of the Jewish people. We find several times, for example, where Rav Gamliel had to travel to Rome to talk with various Roman emperors to help on behalf of the Jewish people. So therefore, you don't want to have the agent have to go all over the place, and they don't know at any given time where the Nasi is. Another point is also, Doris HaRishonim makes the point that Rav Yechon ben Zakkai himself, after he set up everything in Yavne, he figured, now what's going to happen? He's the Zaken Adur, he's the eldest Talmud Chacham of the generation, he's the Talmud of Ilam Shammai, he's well over 100 years old by this point. He's going to end up overshadowing the Nazi, Rav Gamliel, who was much younger. So he moved from Yavne and set up in Brer Chayil, in a town nearby. So again, now the idea is, he understands the Rosh Beis Din over here to mean the Av Beis Din, which Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was. Instead of the Edom having to go to where the Av Beis Din is, in this case, in Berur Chayil, not in Yavne, instead he said they should just go to the Mokam Abad, to the place where the Nasi and the rest of the Chachamim are, namely in Yavne. So the Gemara tells in this connection, speaking of following the Nasi or the Av Beis Din wherever he goes, Hahi Itza, there was a certain woman, the Azmane Lodina Kameda Amema bin Hargay, she was summoned to a Din Torah in front of Amema in the city of Naharda, also Amema Lamachoza, but then Amema left Naharda and went to Mechoza, and she didn't follow him, even though she was under a summons to come to Amema's base. Because of Psicha Ilava. So Amema wrote a psicha, which is a star of shamta of cherem on her for disobeying the Beis Din. Omelet of Ashi Amema v'hanan snan afilu roish Beis Din b'chol mokem shelo yu edim hochon elu b'chem avad. What about our mission that the edim only have to go to where the Beis Din is? So why is she obligated to follow you? You're the av Beis Din, fine, but why is she obligated to follow you to Mechuzah? She should just be able to go to Nahuja, and the rest of the Beis Din will judge the case. Amalei, Samema answers him, Hani min l'inyin Edus HaChodesh. That actually only applies as far as Edus HaChodesh, that we have the special takana that they should go to the Mekom Avah. And the reason is, Yim Kenyan says to Machshavim L'Asad, because again, as we've had a couple of times in our Masechta, we don't want to make them trip up in the future. We don't want that, for example, so this is why we said to Edim, we make big parties for them. We said that we do various other things that we don't want to discourage them in the future from coming. They can be Mechal Shabbos to come, even if the moon was clearly visible, etc., etc. We don't want to discourage in the future. We don't want to discourage them from coming. So now, if they have to go wherever the Av Beis Din is, or wherever the Nasi is, and they have to go all over the place to find him, then they're going to be discouraged and say, you know what, next time I won't bother. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made his takana. Aval Hocha, but over here is a different case. After all, the pasuk says, Eved Loiva Le'ish Malva. The Loiva, the borrower, is like a slave to the Malva, the lender. And therefore, if the Malva wants to be judged dafka by me, by a Maimer, wherever I am, then the Loiva, in this case, this woman, is obligated to follow that, and therefore, if she doesn't want to, then we put her in Cheder. Umar says, Tanan Abanan, Ein Koyt, we're talking about various Takonas of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, so let's talk about more of them. Tanan Abanan, Ein Koytim Rashoin Lalas Besandaleim Leduchan. The Kohenim are not allowed to duchen wearing sandals, which is why Adayim Azeh, you have when the Kohenim duchen, they take off their shoes. The Gemara in Sota explains the reason behind that. The reason is because what happens, the guy is going to be trying to fix a strap of his shoe may break, and he's going to be trying to fix it, so then he's not going to duchen, and people are going to say, yeah, you know why he's not duchening, because he's not a real Kohen, Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. So therefore no shoes for duchening. And the Gemara says, "V'zu echad miteisha takonis shehiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai." So this is one of nine takonis that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai made. So let's go through what are the nine. Shis dahai pirka. So far we have six in our perek. We have this one that we just said about the koyanim with their shoes. Then we have the first mishnah we said that they blow shofar in Yavne or any place where there's a base din. The third one was that you take lulav for all 7 days everywhere in the world. The fourth one is that Yom Henef, the day they bring the Korban Omer, is all Osir. The fifth one is that the Mekabel Edus HaChodesh Kol Hayom. The sixth one is the one that we said in our Mishnah, that the Edim go to the Mekom Avad. So far that's six. The Choder, the Pirka Kama. Then we had one in the first Perek, where We said that originally the Eidei HaChodesh could be Mechal Shabbos to come to testify in front of Beis Din for any of the months, because they have to know when Rosh Chodesh is in order to bring the Korban. But after the Korban, Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai said to the Chachamim, there was no more Korban, therefore we couldn't have them be Mechal Shabbos. Only for Nissan and Tishrei, they left the original Dinda Raisa alone for Nissan and Tishrei, because those we said, those we need Rosh Chodesh to be established firmly for those to know when the Yom Tov are. So far we have seven takanas of Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai. The Idach, now what's the eighth one? Titania, we learn a braiser, Gershon is Gaya Bismanazeh. If a person becomes a Ger nowadays, now when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, the process of Gerus includes Mila for a man, Tvila for a man or a woman, and a Korban. So Bismanazeh is no Korban. So Sorach Shiyafish Roiva Lakinoi, he has to set aside a Roiva, which it actually says means a quarter of a shekel, a half a dinner, for his pair of birds. A cane means a nest, means a pair of birds. That's the minimum korban that a ger has to bring. A ger can bring an animal as a korban, but he can also be yotze by bringing two birds as an oila. So he has to set aside money for that, because when the Beis Hamikdash is built, he's going to have to bring his korban. Tosfos discusses, does it really mean roiva shekel? Does it mean, maybe mean a roiva of a different, rather, does it mean maybe roiva dinner? Whatever, the point is he has to set aside that money for his korban. However, Amar of Shimon Alazar, Kvan Nimna, Allah, Rabbi Yechonon, Obit, Lamukneat Hakala. Rabbi Yechonon, Ben Zakkai, already got together the Chachamim and they voted to be mivatel that because of the takola, because of the stumbling, because what's going to happen? You're going to have this money around. You may eventually forget that you designated this money for the korban, and then you're going to end up using it. You're going to be doing mila. So therefore, he was mivatel that. And nowadays, a ger does not have to set aside that money. Interesting point that you see that there were enough gerim even after the korban that they had to deal with such takonis. You think about it, at the time after the korban, the Jewish people were at their lowest ebb. You have the Gemara in Gittin tells us there was even a point over there when the Romans had laws that anybody who sees a Jew has to kill him, and afterwards any guy who kills a Jew is only going to have to pay a tiny little fine for zuzim. And yet we see apparently there were enough gerim coming at that time that they had to make such takonis. Okay, so far that's eight takonis of Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai. The Idach, now what's the ninth one? That is Plugta, the Papa of Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak. You have an argument what that ninth one was. Rabbi Papa, I'm a Kerem Revai, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, I'm a Loshen Shal Zahoris. Rabbi Papa says that the takana mentioned in the Mishnah having to do with Kerem Revai, the fourth year after the 3 years of Orla, where you have to take the fruit to Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak says, Loshen Shal Zahoris, the red strip that they would put over there on the sur originally on the door of the Heichal and afterwards on the sur Lazazel. So the Papa on the Kerem Revai, the Papa says, what was the Takana as far as Kerem Revai that Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai made? The Tanya, it's a Mishnah. Kerem Revai, ho oilach Yerushalayim, mahalach yem echa b'chotzav. Kerem Revai, we learned this in Beitza as well. Kerem Revai, for one day's distance in every direction from Yerushalayim, you had to bring the grapes to Yerushalayim. Meaning, if you're any further out than that, or any other fruit, you don't dafka have to bring them to Yerushalayim. You could, like with Ma'aser Sheni, you redeem them for money, you take the money to Yerushalayim, and you use that to buy food. But the Chachamim, at one point, made a takana during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, that for one day's journey in every direction from Yerushalayim, you have to bring the actual grapes themselves to Yerushalayim. The Zuhi Toma, the borders are as follows. Eilas minat sofen va'akravas minat dorim, or you have them in parenthesis, because they're really supposed to be the other way around. Lud minat mayr of the Yarden and Mizrach. Lud on the west and the Yarden on the east. So any place within that circle, you have to bring the actual grapes to Yerushalayim. Va'oma ula v'itemer rabba ula omer of Yechonon. Matam, what was the reason behind that takana? They la'ato shuki Yerushalayim apiris. In order to beautify the marketplaces of Yerushalayim with fruit. In other words, that the marketplaces should have lots of grapes in them. You have to remember, in those days, most people pressed grapes to make wine, so they didn't always have a lot of grapes to eat. So therefore, so it was a good thing that you would have grapes in the market. So that was the original takana. The Tanya, now we learn in a braisa, that Kerem Revai Hoyle the Rabbi Eliezer the Mizrach Lud the Tzad Kvar Trovi. Rabbi Eliezer had a Kerem Revai on the east side of Lud. Now Lud being west of Yerushalayim means the east side of Lud is within that day's journey of Yerushalayim, near Kvar Trovi, Obikish Rabbi Eliezer Lachir Lanim. So Rabbi Eliezer didn't want to have the tircha of dealing with the Kerem Revai and taking the fruit to Yerushalayim. This was already after the Churban. So he didn't want to bother. So he just wanted to be makdirit for the poor people and let the poor people do with it whatever. Tosfos explains, okay, maybe the poor people would also have to be mechalalit, but fine, the poor people at least could be mechalalit. They don't need the full value. They could take a large amount of grapes, be mechalalit on a pruta, and that would be fine, because anyway, anyway, you can't bring it to your shalayim now. So he wanted to do that. Omrulay tamida, but Rabbi Eliezer's tamidim told him, Rebbe, kvan nimnu chaverecha olecha vitiruhu. Your colleagues have already voted about that, and will matter it, that now you don't have to bring the fruit to your shalayim. So the Papa says, man chaverecha Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai. So who do they mean? By your colleagues, they mean Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai. We're going to ask soon, one second, Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai was Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe. What do you mean his colleagues? But that's what Papa says. That was the ninth takana of Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai. Rav Nachman Yitzchok, I'm a Loshon Chol Zohoris. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says the ninth takana was the one about the strip of red wool. Yitanya, but Rishonah Hoya Kosher and Loshon Chol Zohoris al Pesach Ulam Mibachot. Originally, they would tie the red string on Yom Kippur on the outside of the door of the Ulam. Hilbin Hoya Snechen, and if it turned white after they threw the Sorel Azazel off the cliff, then everybody was happy. Loy Hilbin Hoya Azazel, and if it didn't turn white, then they were all sad because it showed Hashem didn't forgive their Averis. His skin or she or kosher knows our Pesach Ulam of him. So they made a takana that they should tie it on the inside of the Ulam. Vadayin ho kosher, vadayin on the tzitzin meroyin. Still, people would peek in behind the door and they could see it. Hilben ho smechen, and if it turned white, they're happy that Hashem forgave their Averis. Loy hilben ho yatsevin. His skin or so they made a takana. She or kosher knows it. Chetzi b'sel of a chetzi ben kainim. For sorel mishaleach, that the guy who takes the sorel azazel should take the script with him. And tie half of it to a rock there, and half of it to the head of the Sor Lazozel. And that way, the only one who sees it is him, and that way everybody else is not upset. So that takana was saying Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok, my time, like Omer Kira Papa. So why does Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok disagree with her Papa? Why doesn't he like the explanation that it was the takana about Kerem Revai? Omer Lach, so they'll tell you, Isak Dadach Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, if Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made that takana, what do you mean, Chaveir of Rabbi Eliezer? Mihava. He wasn't really as a chaver, that some of them are telling him, your chaverim made this takana. Rabbi Hava. He was Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe. So therefore, that shows it wasn't Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai's takana. The Idach, not a papa, would answer to that. That's not a problem. Given the Talmidim Havu, since they were Rabbi Eliezer's Talmidim, Lav Oirach Ara, Lamebrele, Rabbi Rabba. They figured it's not Jericharistic to speak to their Rebbe and speak of your Rebbe, like as if you were Talmud like us. So therefore, they spoke of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai as his Chaverim, but everybody understood what they meant. So therefore, the Papa says it could still be a Takana of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. Next, with a Papa, my time, Allah Omakir, not me. Why doesn't a Papa agree that the Takana about the strip of red wool is from Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai? So Omaloch, he'll tell you like this. Isak Dadach Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. If it was Rabbi, how could it be Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai? Be made Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, me have a Loshon Chol Zohoris. During his time, did the strip of red wool b'chalal ever turn white? Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Kol Shnosef Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai may have etched in Shana. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai lived 120 years in total. Mem Shana Osef Petrak Mafia. During the first 40 years he engaged in business. He was learning Torah during that time, obviously, but he was working for his Parnasa. Mem Shana Lomad. For the next 40 years he learned Torah exclusively. Mem Shana Limit. And for the next 40 years he taught the Jewish people Torah. The Tanya, now we learn in another Braisa, Mem Shana Kodem Shenechar Abayis, for the last 40 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Loi Hara Loshon Chol Zohoris Malvin, Elamadim, the strip of red wool would not turn white, it would stay red. Utnan, now, so you're going to say, okay, so as soon as Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai started teaching, as soon as he was a member of the Sanhedrin, is about the same time, so there was a little bit of time in between. But no, Utnan, Mishachor Abayis, he's going to Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai. We have the various takonis that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made after the Churban. So necessarily, therefore, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai lived at least, Rashi says, at least a year, two after the Churban, maybe more. So therefore, so if 40 years before the Churban, it stopped turning, those 40 years are still during the 40 years when Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is still learning from his Rebbeim, when he's not yet teaching Torah to the people. So how is he already making takonis? The answer is, you could say Talmud Yosef Lifnei Rabbi Abba. He was a Talmud at that time, while the strip of red wool was sometimes still turning white. he was a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe, the Omer Milsa, so he said something that, you know, we should stop putting it on the door of the Heichel because everybody's getting upset. The Istaber Taimei, his Rebbeim liked what he said. They approved of what he said. But Kaveh, Rabbi Mishnei, so his Rebbe made the Takana in his name. In other words, they said that we can say that we're going to call this the Takana of Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, even though he's not actually the Av Beis Din yet, or the Nasi, or whatever it is, to be able to make Takanas. But because he said something very logical, we, the Nasi, and the Av Beis Din, and the Sanhedrin of the time, are going to make this Takana and attribute it to Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, who came up with the idea. Therefore, Nachum Yitzchak says that one can be counted as the ninth takana of Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai.
Yeshikayach.